Amen. Thanks, Mark, for leading us this morning, and great to share with you together Crossway in this season of Advent as we journey towards Christmas again. We sang that beautiful hymn, that beautiful song this morning, O come, Emmanuel. And that would be my prayer this morning. My prayer as we open up a message simply called light, and we think about the light and the hope of this season, that somehow we might allow God's Spirit to break afresh into our world, to bring renewal, to bring refreshment, to bring hope, to bring peace. O come, Emmanuel. We unpack the theme today of light as we journey towards Christmas. And as we do that, let me share with you the story of Timothy Gay. Timothy was a new dad. It was 1995, and he lives in LaGrange, a rural town in New York State. He decided to put up some Christmas lights. He put up 600 Christmas lights around the house and his property, and it looked good. The neighbors said to him, yeah, it's looking smart. The next year, he decided to add a few more, and then a few more, and then more and more. In fact, he added so many that today's in the Guinness Book of Records, 672,000 Christmas lights. 672,000 spread across his property, and people come from far and wide. The lights are choreographed to 256 different songs. His wife and his kids are all involved in putting this extravaganza together, and they raise millions of dollars for local charity in the area. I showed my kids some of the photos of that household, and my kids said, Dad, you could never do that. They're right. In fact, this is me when it comes to Christmas lights. I'm hopeless, and they're always tangled, and they're never upright, and they never work right. In fact, we need to buy a new Christmas tree this year because we moved this time last year and our tree broke. And Imogen turned 11 yesterday. God bless her, says to her, Dad, I found the perfect tree for us. And we go to buy it, and she said, Dad, this is good for you because the Christmas lights are already attached to the tree. It looks wonderful. It's up, and it saved me a lot of challenges when it comes to Christmas lights. We talk about light across the world today. Churches and Christians, families will light candles in this season of Advent, lighting candles to represent the light of this season, to represent hope and joy and faith and peace, to represent God breaking into the world and coming towards Christmas, where they will light the Christmas candle, the Christ child candle. Light is so wrapped up in the incarnation. If we think about that metaphor this morning of light, God breaks into our dark world. The prophet captures it in Isaiah 9:2. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. Isaiah looks ahead. He declares to us the time is coming when the Christ child, the Messiah, will come. And darkness will give way to the God light. The Message translation, John 1:5, the life light blazed out of the darkness, and the darkness could not put it out. The light of God breaking into the world. In Matthew 2, the reminder of the Magi. These intelligent and elite men who followed the stars, and they themselves are drawn by a bright star, but their life turned upside down when they meet the light of the world. John 8:12, I am the light of the world, Jesus says. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you'll have the light of life. Today we celebrate the light of the world. And then this astounding message of grace and goodness, that God who would send Jesus into the world, the light of the world, that would he would bestow on us, he would esteem on us the privilege, the opportunity of being the hands and feet of Jesus. You are the light of the world. Let your light so shine so everyone will praise your heavenly Father. The invitation that we would move out into a dark and broken world, a world that's come through the chaos of 2020 with still challenges ahead of us, that we would again be reminded of our privilege of living as people of light who bring honor and glory to our great God. The bottom line for us this morning, the bottom line of the incarnation, the bottom line of God breaking into human history, we matter to God. I don't know about you, but I take hold of that afresh this Advent season. That in the big picture, when all is said and done, God breaks into human history in the person of Jesus and declares yes to humanity, yes to Scott Pilgrim, that we matter to him. It might be this morning that you're watching online locally or around the world and you haven't yet understood what it means to be in a personal relationship with God, and you move into Christmas and there are big questions still you're asking. Let me remind you this morning, most of all, take hold of the fact that you matter to God, that you are loved by God, and that God is here for us. Jesus comes as Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus comes to us today in our frailties and our brokenness and with our hurts and our pains, with our mountaintop experiences and our valleys. He comes to us as a God who is for us, a God who is with us. And we're graciously invited afresh to share in God's redemptive vision for the world, the mission of God in the hands of ordinary people. You and I, sent out afresh this Advent season, sent out afresh this Christmas time to be light, to be love, to be hope, to bring grace, to bring kindness, to bring the aroma of Jesus to our world, to take our eyes off ourselves, to take our eyes off the challenges of COVID, as real as they are, to take our eyes off consumerism and materialism and a world that says, what can I get from it? To turn that upside down again with kingdom values and to move out into a world as people of light. And so this morning, can I just invite you to catch your breath? What a year it's been. What a year it's been for all of us. And we move into this very familiar time, and suddenly it gets busier. And if you're like me, you're not prepared for Christmas at all. But in the midst of that, can I invite you to catch your breath this morning? And simply to pray that prayer, O come, Emmanuel. To invite the Holy Spirit to bring refreshment and renewal this morning, and to ask ourselves, where might we need the light of Jesus to shine afresh in our lives, our hearts, our worlds? Where might we need the light of Jesus to shine afresh in our hearts and our worlds today? And I want to give you very quickly this morning four pictures, four metaphors. When you think about light, over the last couple of weeks, I've had this theme in my mind, and these four images have come to mind. I want to talk briefly this morning about the stars and how they symbolize the incarnation. What about a lighthouse and a candle and lightning? And very quickly unpack these four images with the hope and the prayer that God might refresh us and surprise us and encourage us by his word this morning. Let's start with the stars. I still remember being away with Megan a number of years ago, and we were up staying on a property, some friends of hers. And I walked out one evening and sat on this balcony after dinner, and then moved down to these steps. And there before me was the vast openness of an Australian farming property. And I walked out on the grass and I simply looked up. And I fell to the ground and laid down and looked up, and there before me was God's artistry like maybe I'd never seen it before. A clear sky and all the panorama of stars. The skies alight, the psalmist says, with the glory of God. It was a wonderful experience. And the words of Psalm 8 came to mind. O Lord, our Lord, your majestic name fills the earth. Your glory is higher than the heavens. When I look at the night sky and see the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars you set in place, what are mere mortals that you should think about them? Human beings that you should care about them? It's like the psalmist was lying next to me, looking up at the night sky and all the stars. And the psalmist is struck by the awesomeness, the indescribable nature of our God. His sovereignty, his majesty, his power, his glory. And we should never lose sight of that. And alongside of that, the psalmist is captivated by the reality that that creator loves and cares for creation, and that that creator has blessed and bestowed him with the privilege of grace and a covenant relationship and the opportunity to know him and serve him and to live as the pinnacle of God's creation as humanity. What do the stars represent today for us? They remind us of the Christmas invitation to look up. Stars are always there in the Christmas story, but the stars remind us to look up. And in the midst of a year that has been so stretching and demanding, in a year that has been hard for all of us, in a year where we're weary and tired, today that reminder to look up a fresh Crossway and to see the glory of our God, the God who is still in control, the God who hasn't left the building, the God who isn't distant or detached, a God to worship, a God to be praised, but a God who comes to us in Jesus. God of grace, a God who graces us with his best gift, who graces us today with hope and love and joy and purpose and meaning and forgiveness and community and the privilege of serving. Look up to the stars of Fresh Crossway today and worship our Christmas God, but be reminded of God's grace for you. And then the lighthouse. I've had a big year, like all of you. It's been a challenging year, hasn't it? And last weekend, I just took some time out to go down the coast when I need to catch my breath and take some time out. The coast always beckons me. Salt water and sand and the smell of the ocean. And I was down on the Bellarine Peninsula and then along the Great Ocean Road, and I stopped at a lighthouse. And I got out of the car and was walking towards the lighthouse, and you see the kind of stature of this grand structure standing there on the headland, kind of powerful and tall, making a statement. And the sun was shining. And as I walked towards the lighthouse, the blue skies kind of gave way to grey, and it was getting darker and darker, the skies, and some rain began to fall. And that's just Melbourne, that's just Victoria, isn't it? But I was captured in that moment that I kind of paused to remind myself that I've so needed to keep coming back to a lighthouse God this year in my own life. A year where I've been reminded so many times that I am not in control. A year where I've been reminded so many times that things are happening around me in this world that are beyond, you know, my power to change. A year where, of course, I never expected to live like you through a pandemic and to see the implications of that across our globe. A year where I never expected to sit with our team at Crossway in the office on a Friday afternoon and make the decision that we wouldn't worship that weekend and spread the word, and not knowing that we wouldn't physically be together in buildings this year. To start a new role at Global Interaction, bringing leadership to that organization around the world, and only get 2 days in the office and not being able to travel and try to build a team on Zoom and do all of that stuff that we've all been doing. To approach Christmas and to live with the realities. I continue to go through a journey of grief that my mum won't be at that Christmas table. I've so needed to keep coming back to a lighthouse God this year. The Lord is my light and my salvation, the psalmist wrote. So why should I be afraid? The Lord is my fortress protecting me from danger. So why should I tremble? My mum had two favourite psalms. Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength. Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. The lighthouse, representing that God is a strong tower. The lighthouse, helping us navigate our way through the storms of life. And we've faced many of those in 2020 together, haven't we? Leading us to peaceful spaces. The lighthouse, the tower that leads us to refuge. Christmas reminds us that we are not bereft of hope. It's in my heart and my spirit today that someone prophetically needs to hear that word spoken over their life today. You're sitting watching today and you feel like you're stuck in your circumstances. You're living in pain and hurt and you feel alone. And God would say to you today, I am the lighthouse and you are never bereft of hope. I am here with love and care and goodness and grace. And my desire is to lead you to peaceful places and spaces as you walk through the valley. We never walk into the valley, but God takes us through the valley. It's a message for me today. It's a message for you. The God of the stars, the God of the lighthouse, the Emmanuel God who is with us now. God with us. Where do you need the Emmanuel God to bring peace to your world today? Let's not make Christmas such a familiar story and sanitize the message and get so caught up in the busyness and hype that we lose sight of the fact that God is here for you today. Today, the Emmanuel God. We are not alone. We are not bereft of hope. And then the candle, the third image, the stars, the lighthouse and the candle. I love candles. I love lighting candles. I'd like to light candles all around me right now, but I'm told the sprinkler system will come off and that probably won't be good in shutting down our online service with all this technology around me. I love to light candles at home. Might not be the most blokey thing, but I love them. I love the smell of them and the sight of them. You know, if we were on the block, Megan would be knocking down the walls and getting dirty, and I'd be out styling and buying candles. The candle for me reminds me that the incarnation brings the light and the love and the hope of God to a broken world. Isaiah says the world was dark and light is coming. God breaks into human history in the most unexpected way at Bethlehem, and the light of the world has come. And what do we read? John 1:14, God became flesh and moved into the human neighborhood. I love that verse. I love that translation. God becomes flesh and moves into the world, into the human neighborhood, my neighborhood, your neighborhood, the neighborhoods of the world. And think about it. It's the neighborhood God created. And we go back to Genesis and we see that that neighborhood was created good and perfect, bringing glory to God, created the way God intended it to be. But of course, darkness and sin enters the world and we see a world scarred by darkness and by brokenness and by injustice. And we live in that world and we contribute to that world. But what does Jesus do? Jesus begins to re-beautify a broken world. The incarnation says God has not finished with a broken world and a broken humanity. And Jesus comes to bring grace and love and hope, to bring a picture of who our God is. And he comes to re-beautify that was broken. And I just love that picture. He comes to bring light. You know, on that dark Bethlehem night, it was like a babe is born and a candle was lit, and that light can never be extinguished. Martin Luther King Jr. writes, darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. And hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. The reminder at Christmas that we are sent out afresh as a people of light. There's a picture there of a young Presbyterian pastor in the United States called Morgan Schmidt. An ordinary follower of Jesus, but a young woman doing some extraordinary things in her community of Bend in Oregon, a city of about 75,000 people, where she serves as the youth and young adults pastor in that church. A woman whose name we might not know, but a woman who's become increasingly known around the United States because of that passionate commitment to live as a person of light. She's entered into the community in Bend and made a stand against the youth kind of drug culture, has come alongside with some incredible transformative initiatives, helping young people to get their life back on track. Not simply throwing stones, but doing something practical to help that community. She has been responding to the pandemic in Bend by forming a cooperative that are seeking to kind of feed people and house people. There's a picture of their church community, of the Presbyterian Church, where with winter now hitting in the US in Bend and temperatures falling, but COVID numbers sadly tragically rising, homeless people are being put up in tents in that church building. And then look at this image. There she is, this young Presbyterian pastor, as police took to the streets of Bend this year and were shooting at innocent civilian protesters standing up for immigrants in that community. And there she is on the ground, faith on the line, seeking to be a peacemaker in her community. What a powerful image of 2020 of a pastor. Look at this. Look at that clergy witness. There's a witness of the light and the hope of Jesus. And why do I share her story today? Because I found this quote on social media. Morgan, you are truly a beautiful manifestation of Christ among us. Look at that. You are truly a beautiful manifestation of Christ among us. When I read that quote, yesterday, I was so challenged in my heart and soul. Because what does the word manifestation mean? Incarnation equals manifestation. God becomes incarnate. God manifests himself in a broken world. God takes on the flesh and enters into our brokenness and our pain. And then he sends us out in grace with privilege and responsibility to be his hands and feet. In other words, Crossway, this Christmas, I am sent to be manifesting the light of Jesus in my world, and so are you. We're sent as incarnation people, as manifestation people, but I know in my own worlds, I can sometimes get so caught up in just the stuff of life, even the busyness of ministry. I can get caught up in my own circumstances, my own calendar. Sometimes I need to stop and breathe again and remind myself that I'm called to be a beautiful manifestation of Jesus in my world. What does that mean for you today? What does that mean for me today? What does that mean for each one of us as people of light? This Christmas season, where is God at work around you? Where is he inviting you to be a beautiful manifestation of Jesus? The stars, the lighthouse, the candle, and finally today, the lightning. When I was a kid, you know, in Newcastle, a hot afternoon, really humid day, and you could see the clouds changing and a storm coming, you know, and then I'd get into bed and the thunder would roll and the lightning would flash and I would race to my parents' bedroom. I was always scared of storms. Today, my little kids do just that. You know, a big thunderous, loud storm hits, and my kids might race into the bedroom and they wake me and they disturb me, but there's a sense of holding them, knowing that was my experience. When lightning strikes, our world is disturbed. And the reality is the incarnation brought peace, but it also disturbs the peace. Jesus comes as the Prince of Peace. He comes to bring peace, to model peace, to call us to be peacemakers. But when God breaks into the world, he also disturbs the peace. He rattles the cage. He calls us out of our comfort zones. The status quo cannot be the same. I mean, look at this. Look at the whole Christmas story, and we see this disturbance. This radical John the Baptist comes with a prophetic message of repentance and pointing the way to the Messiah who will come to baptize with the Spirit. Mary and Joseph called the absolute extremes of faith and trust and obedience. Talk about being called out onto a limb. Talk about having your life turned upside down. The shepherds aren't expected to get invited to the king's party. The shepherds are the least likely. The shepherds were pushed aside and hated, but God brings them. And who else does he bring? He brings the elite. He brings the magi who are humbled, and see the picture there. Two groups of people who are never supposed to meet come together and both fall at the feet of the Savior. Jesus turns class upside down. Jesus turns the values of our world upside down. Herod, the king, one of power, the tyrannical leader, suddenly worried about where is this baby? And soon, not long after entering the world, God becomes flesh, and Jesus and his parents become refugees, displaced people like so many around the world today, and like so many around the world today that are continually forgotten and who we as the church need to stand for and stand with. The incarnation disrupts the status quo. When God comes to town, things can't stay the same. This Christmas, where does God need to disturb me? Where does God need to shake up your cage? Where does God need to declare over our lives that there are things that need to change? Where does God want to disturb us? Where does he want to break the status quo? Where does he want to call us out of our comfort zones? Yes, we can sit at a sanitized manger, and we can sing carols and eat nice food and live with sentimentality. And as Pastor Mark said today, those things are good. But as Mark said, as he brought us back to communion, front and center, here is the message of Christmas. God breaks into our world. God loves us. We matter to God, but God sends us out into that broken world as his hands and feet. And he calls us to embrace kingdom values, to leave behind the values of the world, and to day by day seek to embrace more the values of the kingdom. And that for me is an ongoing daily journey. But it needs God to continue to disrupt my world, to challenge me, to shake my cage, to call me out of my comfort zone. And where might God call you, like Morgan Schmidt, to bring a voice of disturbance to the community? As followers of Jesus, we need to be heard. We need to be a voice for the voiceless. We need to be willing to speak up with faith and courage around kingdom values and kingdom issues and issues of justice, because that is the way of Jesus. Where might God want to disturb our worlds afresh this Christmas? Advent is a season of preparation. What did John the Baptist himself say? He said, "Prepare the way. Prepare the way for the Lord." Because the Lord is coming to do new things, make the paths straight. God is coming to town. At the end of a huge 2020, we celebrate afresh that God has come to town for us. The light of the world has entered to a dark and broken world. And we look up the stars and we see our God. We remind ourselves that our God is a lighthouse and a strong tower. We remind ourselves we light a candle that we are sent out with the hope of Jesus to a broken world. And we remind ourselves, we think about lightning, that the kingdom always should disturb us and change us as we seek to grow as gospel kingdom people. Crossway, joy to the worlds. The Lord has come. O come, Emmanuel. Come afresh this Christmas, God. Surprise us, transform us, and send us out as the light of the world. God bless you, Crossway. Let's worship together.